You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Justin Forsett.
Excel at what you can control. For me, I know a lot of people tell you control what you control, but I think you excel at those things that you can't control because those things are going to keep you until you get your breakthrough.
Justin is an NFL running back and Pro Bowl player. He was ranked number 65 of the top 100 players of 2015. He's been described as a powerful player despite being undersized and overmatched. At 5'8", Justin became an underdog fan favorite in the NFL. Drafted by the Seattle Seahawks in the 7th round in the 2008 NFL Draft, Forsett started his 9-year football career in which he played with 7 different teams. He is a podcast host on LeBron James' Uninterrupted Podcast Network, featured in Sports Illustrated, and appears in the final episode of Long Shot. Justin is a writer, sporting news contributor, and a radio broadcast color analyst. Justin's skills as an entrepreneur and inventor found him featured on ABC's Shark Tank as the creator of Shower Pill. Justin spends his time dedicated to helping victims of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. He is an expert on leadership, overcoming adversity, and perseverance. Justin, welcome to On Brand.
Appreciate it, man. That was an awesome intro. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, who's that guy? We should have him on.
Yeah.
No, well, I think it feels fitting with professional sports, though, with the intro kind of pumping you up. I feel like, you know, you read an intro like that, and I'm ready to run out the chute, and I didn't even do any of those things.
No, that's cool, man. I mean, it's very theatrical. I love that. I mean, just, if I could have you come along and introduce me everywhere I go, that would be awesome.
Well, you know, two words stand out in there as I read them. You talked about being undersized and overmatched. And we met at South by Southwest, where I was talking about my latest book, Brand Now. But that one, that mindset that you talked about and overcoming that really makes me think of an area where I spend a lot of time, which was my first book, which is Get Scrappy. And I feel like someone that is undersized and overmatched fits that definition to a T.
You know, I came from very humble beginnings. You know, I was always the small guy on the field. You know, I came from a small town of 3,000 people in a place called Mulberry, Florida. And I just had to fight for everything that I had. Had the odds were stacked against me, but with perseverance and work ethic, I was able to accomplish some great things.
So what led you from, I think it has obviously informed your perseverance and achievement on the playing field, but I also think that those that scrappy mindset is useful in the entrepreneurial space. What was your journey from professional sports to being an entrepreneur?
Well, my journey started while I was playing. I don't know how many people know, but the stats around professional football players, at least in the NFL, is that 80% of players 2 years after they're retired are either bankrupt, divorced, or depressed. And that's mainly because they've allowed that sport or the thing that they've done for so long to become identity.
Yeah.
So once that time ends, it's hard to transition because they feel like that's all you're good at or that's all that you know. And for me, I didn't want to be a part of that statistic. I've actually seen examples of people go on from professional sports and do great things. You know, whether it's Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan or Roger Staubach, you name it, the list goes on and on, like successful people doing great things, Michael Strahan being the latest, that they really use the sport as just really a stepping stool to kind of push them into the next chapter in their life. Because when you retire from sports, I mean, at least when I retired, I was 31 years old. So I had a lot of life left, and I just want to make that transition as smooth as possible. So I actually started while I was playing. I was fired 6 times throughout my career, so I had to think about the end quite a bit and what was going to be next if I didn't make it. So I knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Like I said, I looked up to guys like the Michael Jordans and Magic Johnson of the world. So, you know, I was all about trying to build something where I can provide jobs for people like me, people from my community. And, you know, because at this position, being an athlete, you're always, you know, giving people the fish, so to speak, and I wanted to teach people how to fish. So that was kind of my mindset, and that's how I got into the entrepreneur world.
Well, there's so many of these things that present these forks in the road, and I think that it's all about what you make of it, because that's really been kind of a consistent through line. You from being undersized and overmatched to being fired 6 times, and I think that's something that on the business side is one of those forks in the road that can really, not unlike the stats that you were citing earlier, some people can go down a darker path, but it can also lead other people to some amazing places. You have to continue to think and to innovate, and I think what's interesting there is that you talked about it not being your identity. And without trying to shoehorn too much of this back to the branding mindset, to me it sounds a lot like what your personal brand is was more than just what you were doing on the field.
Oh, yeah, wholeheartedly. You know, football was what I did. It wasn't who I was. Like, I wanted to be so much more. And I wasn't afraid to go out and put myself out there and start something that I could be proud of and take that leap into entrepreneurship, because just like football, I mean, you're going to run into a lot of no's being an entrepreneur. You're going to run into a lot of criticism. You're going to run into a lot of adversity and obstacles. But those who can endure usually have success in the end. And for me, being a young entrepreneur and started this, you know, launched this company, my company Showerpill, about 4 years ago now. And 4 or 5 years ago now, and it's been entrepreneurship is a sexy term, but it is work. I am more busy now than I ever was playing in the NFL or playing sports. I'm coming from a background where my schedule is given to me. My you know, kind of my to-do list for the day, his itinerary has always been given to me at the top of it. I know when I was going to lift. I knew when I was going to meet. I knew when I was going to eat. It was all scheduled and planned for me. Now I have to prioritize those things. And there's really no shut off, you know. There's no Saturdays and Sundays off, especially when you're just starting the business. Like, there's not one day when I'm not doing something to try to help this business go. So it takes a lot of consistency. It takes a lot of work ethic, commitment. Those same things that I use to be a professional athlete has definitely transitioned over to the entrepreneur world.
So you talked about that starting while you were playing. It was Showerpill the first startup idea that you had? And
It was it. I started with two of my college teammates. We all went to UC Berkeley and played football together, and wanted to create something that solved a problem that we had as athletes. We had a term in the locker room that was passed down to us from generations of NFL greats like Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, Troy Aikman, you name it. And there's pills for everything, but no pills for a shower in the locker room. So when a guy skipped on a shower, he said, "I took a shower pill, bro, don't judge me." So there was points throughout the day where guys had to, whether it was, you know, run from practice right into meetings, or he had to go to rehab after a workout session, a yoga, Pilates session, and you had to defer the shower until later, or you just wiped off and, you know, with a towel. But in our line of work, you're susceptible to things like staph and ringworm and different type of infections, so it wasn't really good for us. So we wanted to fix that problem, and come up with a solution. So we came up with Shower Peel, which is a disposable washcloth for antibacterial toilet that removes sweat, dirt, and body odor when a shower is optimal but not possible. So that was our first idea concept. We kind of ran with it, but definitely my parents were entrepreneurs, so I kind of had that passion early too.
Well, I love that you talked about how much work entrepreneurship is, because I think that most of us have, when it comes to being a professional athlete, we can envision the work, the scheduling, the grind, and all of that. And I would imagine it's just as much, or if in some ways not more so, that there's all of this that has to happen. There's probably some entrepreneurs out there that may not be working up quite the same kind of sweat that would still benefit from a shower pill.
Yeah, no, man. It's definitely a grind each and every day. But I also, knowing that it's a grind, like I can't wait to get up the next morning to do what I do, because I love it. I love the passion of just trying to build this thing and build a brand and a company that really means something. But day in and day out, I have to put the time in. I have to put the work in. I have to prioritize, and balance whether it's, you know, running this company, but also, you know, being a husband and a father to three kids and four, about to be four here in a couple of months. So
congratulations.
Thank you. So it's definitely challenging at times, but that's why, you know, you have good advisors, good partners, good circle of people around you to kind of just help you along the way. You can't do it alone. Even though entrepreneurs, we tend to isolate ourselves and working in these rooms where we're not talking to anyone for a while. It's important to have a circle around you to kind of help you along this journey.
Do you struggle to keep up with everything that's new with marketing today? Don't get frustrated. Get scrappy. I'd love to bring my Get Scrappy keynote to your next conference or corporate event. With a foot in the classroom and a foot in the field working with clients, I know what works and why, and I can't wait to share it with you during a talk that mixes strategic insights with tactical, practical tips. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show. So talk to me about the Shower Peel brand, because there's so many different tracks of work, and you started this while playing still, and you know, you've got the startup, the business concept, the so many different pieces of the infrastructure. Take me to the point where the brand of what Shower Peel is came into being.
Yeah, no, it definitely came from just this authentic, genuine place. Being from having a background where I'm in a profession where, you know, I'm sweating a lot. We use a ton of personal care products in the sports field, in the sports arena. There was nothing out there that really spoke to people like me. Or people that live active, fit lifestyles as far as in the personal care market. Now, you had different big companies that had little spinoffs, or if they put on like a sports version of their product, but there was nothing, no company that was like solely built for, you know, the fit person, the adventurer, the athlete, or that person that's on the go. So what we like to say is we're building this active care category. We're an active care brand where we're at this cool intersection between hustle and hygiene, where we provide those personal care products for people that are on the go. And that's the kind of brand that we're trying to build, where we're trying to do, I like to say, three things: that we're trying to inspire, we're trying to have impact, and we're trying to have fun. You know, we have those as our core values, and we think that we can, with our product and our brand, we can inspire people to do more and be more throughout their day without sacrificing hygiene.
I love that that little soundbite of between hustle and hygiene, because that that sums up the problem, the struggle that that the audience, that your target audience has perfectly.
Yeah, no, we think so, and it really has evolved, because at first when we started this company, it was just terrible. It was like, man, this would be a great idea for professional athletes, and maybe youth sports like football players, soccer players, whatnot. But it's really kind of evolved from just being just sports heavy for us. Like we have our anchor customer, but we realized it's getting feedback from the actual people that were using the product was that it was a wide spectrum of users. So it wasn't just sports. It was really people that were like really living this active lifestyle. So that included not just, the sports realm, but the hikers, the campers of the world, the soccer mom that likes to do SoulCycle in the morning or take Pilates classes. So, it really grew from just being, heavy, athlete or sports driven to, more so of that that intersection between hustle and hygiene.
Well, I mean, what's great about that is that speaks to your initial target market, but to your point that you made just now, it also is something that's specific, but not so hyper specific that it leaves out the growth potential, the hikers, the campers, the soul cyclers.
Yes. No, and that's what we're extremely excited about. Just the growth potential that we have as a company. I think we're hyper focused on our consumer right now, and just learning more and more about them each day and their needs. And as we continue to increase the products that we provide them, creating things that they want and desire and they need, and not things that we think they need or we think that they want, or the things that we like specifically. Because I think especially early on as an entrepreneur, we get caught up into trying to build things that you think that would be great, but the consumer doesn't. So definitely a lot of room to grow for sure.
So to get technical for a moment, it's a product that is sold in retail outlets, correct?
Yes. It's sold in all Target stores right now. Brick and mortar, that's our big box brick and mortar retail right now, and then online, Amazon, and then our website.
So what is the role in that channel distribution of building the brand? Is your work primarily brand awareness? What do you see as kind of the big brand lifts there?
Yeah, I would say awareness for sure. And then we have points where it's education, because we are kind of pioneering this space of active care and leading with, we started with our hero product, the shower pill body wipe, where, most people don't know, they haven't came across a product like ours before. So, it's really educating them on the use case of the product and kind of what we do. Because right now, for whatever reason, people think it's okay to defer showers into, maybe it's, an hour or, later on into the day after a workout, after an interval of sweat. So it's really an educating factor. There's a piece to it as well.
Well, that's the double-edged sword. When you first talked about building the brand, the very first point in there is, it was just taking some notes how many times you were saying there's nothing out there, there's nothing for someone, and that's great from a business case perspective, but then on the other side of that is a story that you have to tell, because in some cases it might not be a problem that people that they know they have, but they don't exactly know what the alternative would look like.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's definitely work to do. And we've kind of been laying that groundwork down and just trying to educate. And we do, the good thing is that we found kind of that tribe that really, really loves the product and really, really gets it. We like to say where we win is at the point of sweat. And what we make when we have success is when we're able to show up at events, whether it's, you know, a 5K or a marathon or, you know, a CrossFit event where people are sweating and they just get it and understand it. But it's definitely an awareness component to it where we have to invest in, you know, educating and letting people know that we're out here. But once they know it, we see pretty a pretty good conversion over to the product.
So legacy brands have probably a great big marketing mix of things that they've been doing forever, TV, radio, print, new forms of media working in. The brand starting from scratch today, but distributing in some of these big box brick and mortar spaces, what are the primary avenues that you're looking at for that awareness and education?
Yes. Yeah, so one, social media, we can't overlook that, especially with my background and also being an influencer and have a ton of friends that are influencers, whether it's, you know, the Marshawn Lynch's of the world, the Steph Curry's of the world, being able to tap into, you know, kind of the low hanging fruit that we have to kind of push the awareness out there from what we're doing. And then also just, you know, being on that grassroots marketing, whether it's, I mean, next week I'm at one of the country's largest soccer tournament, youth soccer tournaments, where I'll have a booth set up, and we're sampling product and we're getting awareness out there and then trying to drive sales and push people to the outlets in which we provide. So but definitely heavy on the social media.
Well, I also wanted to talk about some of the key brand touch points, because one thing I also think that you talk about the big box distribution, the product itself, I think, has some fascinating packaging, and it really kind of helps you tell that story. I'll post a picture of it at the show notes, but can you paint a picture for the audience of what the shower pill packaging looks like and why that's an important part of what you're doing?
Yeah, the shower pill packaging is you know, it's simple, it's clean, and it's easy to it's easy for that person that's on that has that on the go lifestyle. We wanted something that was convenient, where you can just pop into your backpack or your gym bag and be on your way. Unlike if, you know, you're saying you're using, you know, wet wipes or baby wipes or things like that, you're not carrying around a huge tub. So we wanted something that could be mobile with you and be convenient with your lifestyle. So it's the packaging, the way they look, the way it feels, it's just easily accessible for that person that's on that on-the-go lifestyle. So that's kind of what we were thinking about it: simple, clean, and accessible.
Well, and those are easy things to overlook as well. It makes it clear what the problem is and makes it accessible to access and use as well. So, in thinking about growth of the brand, what plans do you have for the future of Shower Pill?
Yeah. So right now we have done a really good job. Where I believe if you know, just trying to get awareness out there with creating one product. And we're just trying to really continue to push and pioneer this active care space where we're creating more traditional products that are geared towards that persona that we're going after. So you can see more of some of those more traditional personal care products coming from our brand down the pipeline. We actually have a launch coming, another product launching into Target here in September, where it will complement kind of the body wipe what we have now and this whole shower experience. So I can't wait to announce that.
Awesome. Well, folks can look for that on the way and at Target as well. It has come time to talking about all of these brand innovations for you, Justin, to share a brand that has made you smile recently.
Man, recently, I would say a brand called Welly. They do bandages, which is around bandages and first aid, which has been an area I feel like hasn't really seen a lot of innovation.
Yeah.
But it is really cool, just the packaging and design. It's not. This is not like your bandages that you get from your grandma. These bandages are really cool. We got the containers are tin, and the texture is really smooth. It's kind of a little more modern and contemporary look and feel to bandages, and they're sold in Target. And their founder, Eric Ryan, is the man behind Method, behind Ollie's vitamins, and now this company Welly. Just he's been having huge success around the packaging and design, and it's awesome to see him stepping into this bandage area where that hasn't seen innovation.
Well, there's so many of these products out there that are so many of these categories that kind of fall into the no one's bothered to build a better mousetrap. And that's certainly true of mouse traps, but some things, I wonder if they're just sitting there ripe for innovation and with the ability to tell a more interesting brand story than what's happening today.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree. I think that what Welly is doing is just a testament to that, because I think, at least speaking in my perspective from the bandage space, I have not seen anything like it before. Haven't seen any innovation, haven't really seen any. It's kind of been really stagnant, in my opinion. But I think there's a ton of areas out there where there's a good possibility for innovation and growth. And it's exciting to see the creativity of some of these entrepreneurs.
Well, speaking of entrepreneurs, I'm sticking one more question in there as we wrap up, is if there's someone listening that is going through the struggle, the hustle of everything, you probably get asked this, you probably have a stock answer with as being a successful entrepreneur. What's one thing you'd say that that entrepreneur in the throes of it should take to heart?
Oh man, there's a lot there, but one thing I would say is excel at what you can control. For me, I know a lot of people tell you control what you control, but I think you excel at those things that you can't control, because those things are going to keep you until you get your breakthrough. There are so many experts and critics out there, naysayers that will try to kind of quench your fire that you have, your passion, kind of your drive, but you have to ignore the noise. You have to keep fighting, excel at those things that you can control. If you see, recognize what you have. You may have weakness or weak spots in your business. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and transparent with that and attack those areas. But just keep fighting and excel at those controllables are key to having success.
Awesome. Well said. Again, I'm ready to run out of the locker room now. Justin, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, you can go to all of my social media platforms, which is just J Forsett, my first initial and last name, and of course at Shower Pill on all platforms as well. So you can definitely tune in there.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Justin, thanks for being on brand with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Nate. Appreciate you.
And as a reminder, you can find show notes, links, and more at onbrandpodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. For more on me, including how you can sign up for my new email newsletter, please visit nickwestergaard.com. That's Westergaard with two A's. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.